Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm glad you remembered your name. I'm just joking.
Look, if I remembered you, boom, that was pretty good.
I agree. You had a good day today?
Ah, cooked all day. Because I have a doctor appointment tomorrow morning, and so that's going to cut my spot early. You know, won't have as much cooking time, so.
Understand. Good evening, Malka.
Good evening.
So we're... This class is a deep Zohar class on Parashat Noah. We're at section 26, verse or pasuk 199. And I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bithilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. L'yakta l'shem yudhe bubavhe. V'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenehu. Kach atzema k'tiv vayaret Yisrael. Shokein lishvatav. V'chamav dishkinta. Chaf ya'alayhu. Ur v'ya'alayhu. Mit takna bitres sar shivtin tichota v'la yakil l'shalta alayhu eneya amarech ekol lechon deha ruach kadisha ila'a revia alayhu. Becha pat lom begad pacha ahidiktiv kara shakav kari uklavio mi yakimenu me alayhu begin de itkalyan beshalta Eina alayhu. Come and see. It is written, and he saw Israel dwelling according to their tribes. And he also saw that the Shekhinah hovered and brooded over them, because she was made whole by the 12 tribes beneath her. The eye of Bilam could not have power over them. He said, how can I overcome them as the supernal Holy Spirit, namely Bina, is hovering over them and protecting them with its wings? As it is written, he couches, he lay down like a lion, and like a great lion, that who shall stir him up? That is who shall raise it, the supernal Holy Spirit, that it should stop protecting them, so that they might be revealed to the eye, which would then rule them. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think it's a recap from yesterday of what we were trying to conceive.
It's a continuation from yesterday. It's not a recap.
Okay.
It's continuing. It's giving you additional information.
Okay.
It's talking about Bilam and what Bilam saw when he looked at the camp of the children of Israel.
Right. He saw the protection of the cloud. She kind of. And he couldn't penetrate it because the the Shem hand was over him, or the energy force, I guess, was over him.
It's actually giving you some additional information. He saw the Shekhinah, which is Malchut, and that Malchut was hovering over them and brooding over them, which brings forth the idea of the mother bird and her eggs, and that mitzvah that is so strange. Then he's also saying that he is able to see Bina as it relates to the children of Israel. So he saw both the Shekhinah and he saw Bina involved in protecting them. So when you said the clouds, there are seven clouds. The clouds are the seven lower Sephirot. When he said he saw the Shekhinah, he was dealing with the lowest of the clouds. When he said he saw Bina, he might have been saying, I'm seeing the highest of the clouds, which would be Chesed. But it really says that he was able to perceive Bina hovering, dealing with the children of Israel as additional protection. So he was looking for a way to get in. He was looking for an entry point to cause them harm. That's what we discussed last time. But here we get additional information, and it's reinforcing that whole concept that he wanted to harm, but he wasn't able to, because the Creator, Hashem, was protecting them on many, many layers, many levels.
By it saying he saw Israel dwelling according to their tribes, is that a hint that the tribes were doing what they were supposed to do, I guess I should say?
Very good. That is, what do you think it means when they were dwelling according to their tribes? They were not intermixing the tribes. And essentially, it reinforces what we don't think of, which is the tribes have an inner essence, an inner energy. And we see the tribes as the nation. But here he's saying the tribes had their own unique energy, and he wasn't able to penetrate even one of them. Think of Bilam as a hacker in today's parlance.
Yeah.
What does a hacker do? He's got a network of 1,000 machines, 1,000 computers. All he needs to get into is one of those machines, because then he can just walk through the network to every one of the others. Because we don't maintain levels of protection between one machine in the network and another machine in the network. Now, when it comes to high security, governmental security, they do have additional protocols. They do have additional security between machines. But even that, it's the hackers are able to penetrate. But if you look at this verse, the English translation, from the standpoint of a hacker's mentality, it begins to give you a different understanding, a more broader understanding of the relationship between the brothers, meaning the tribes, and how they interacted with each other and how they protected each other. and how they didn't protect each other.
But I think now I can see venues, because I didn't see that before, with the meaning that he actually saw Bina. And now it seems to make more sense or come to light that when he told Balak he couldn't curse them, but he could tell him how they could curse themselves. So having them introduced to the Midianite women, that then kept the Shekinah and Malkut able to rise, you know, even to Yesod, so it would never get to Bina. So while he was seeing what he couldn't do, he was seeing what could be done.
Correct.
That's
correct.
What I got. Are you saying that he actually saw Bina? So if he could, he knew which plug to pull.
Remember, we're reading an English translation and the comments by Rabbi Ashlag, so we have to kind of understand. The phrase that's being used is the supernal Holy Spirit, which I'm guessing, because I haven't looked at the words, but Holy Spirit is always Ruach HaKodesh. And the supernal would probably be Elah, the upper. Now, I haven't looked at the words, but I think that's the essence of the words. But that's, so if he saw the upper Holy Spirit, that is Bina.
Well, it is Ruach HaKadishah, so that's pretty close.
Right, that Ruach HaKadishah is Holy Spirit in Aramaic. And the word after that is Ila'ah, which is upper. So you see you can see the phrase that's being translated. And now Rabbi Ashlag comes in with his comments, namely Bina, explaining to us what this is. Should I go on?
I think so. If Malka thinks so. Unless you have something to
Pasuk 200. We all da kucha berichu ba'alihavya lenoach leistatra Meina dila yakil ruach mesava l'shalta aleya begin dila itchabel v'haitmar v'yavo noach kimad itmar l'istat ra meina Mifnei mehamachbul demayin dechaku Leya amar rabbi yosei Chama malach hamaveta chawa Ateugin kach aletevuta. Therefore, the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to protect Noah by hiding him out of sight, so that the impure spirit could not rule him and destroy him, as has already been explained. The words, "and Noah went in," apply to what has previously been said, that he entered the ark to be hidden from sight. The words, because of the waters of the flood, indicate that the waters actually pushed him into the ark, meaning that he saw the waters of the flood and was afraid. And as a result, he went into the ark. Rabbi Yossi added that Noah saw the angel of death arrive with the waters of the flood, and that is why he entered the ark. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I take it his family was already in the ark. He was just the last to go in. So he kind of...
I think that's a valid assumption.
Yeah.
But it's really saying here, earlier we learned that Noah went... The Torah reads, Noah entered the ark.
Right.
Here it's saying Noah went in. It doesn't say the ark. What does it mean that he went in if he was already entered? And then there's two differences of agreement, or two differences in opinion.
Can you repeat that question again? Can you repeat the question you get that you asked about Noah going inside the ark versus in the ark? It was kind of broken up.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. The Torah says that Noah entered the ark. This pasuk is saying Noah went in. It does not say it where he went into the ark. It's saying it applies to what was previously said, meaning that Noah entered the ark. Then he went in. Where else did he go? If he's in the ark, if he entered the ark, what does it mean that he went in? Now, then there is two opinions being expressed. One opinion is that he saw the rain start, and so that pushed him into the ark. And then Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that opinion. He's saying Noah saw the angel of death along with the rain, along with the waters of the flood. And that is why he entered the ark. But we have not dealt with the issue is what does it mean that he went in after we already know that he's entered the ark? What I'm really trying to explain to you, when you read the Zohar and you understand that we're reading an English translation, which is a good translation, but it's also, there are many different levels. You have to read that translation very carefully. And you cannot make an assumption that you understand what it's saying. Because as I read this to you, how many of you had the understanding, well, went in means he entered the ark. But you have to bring your knowledge of what's in the Torah itself, along with what's in the verses that are being quoted, as well as the information that the Zohar brings extraneously. It's extra information, but it doesn't jive logically. If you know he's in the ark, where did he go in? What does it mean that he went in? It could mean that he went to a different dimension.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask.
Is that
we know he's already in the ark.
It could mean that he went to the upper level. He entered the ark at the bottom level and he walked up to the top level. It could mean that he went to a different dimension. It could mean that the three levels that are in the ark are different dimensions. We don't really know.
Could it also represent Hashem creating a covenant with Noah? Because it would be from Noah's children that the world would be repopulated.
I believe, and I would ask if, because I'm not sure, if we look at the order of the words in the Parsha of Noah, there was a covenant created with Noah, but I think it was when he exited the ark, not when he went into it. He was told to go into it to protect himself. When he exited, that's when he started to make a sacrifice, and you know, he planted the vineyard, so he'd make a sacrifice and have a covenant with Hashem. But if I'm wrong in the order, and we know that the Torah itself is not necessarily written in a chronological order. There are stories of the Torah that happen after when they're written to us and we read them before. So it depends on the Midrash to give us the order of the Torah. But there's a lot of unanswered questions in the pasuk, and I'm sure they will be answered later on. Hopefully in this section.
Two main characters.
You want to say? Please go ahead, Malka.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, sir.
That's all right. Should I go on to verse 201 right now, or do we want to stay here?
I was wondering, I was looking through the Aramaic to see if I saw a word that looked like, I believe, the secret place. It's Seter, I believe that's a word in Hebrew, and I was trying to see if I saw a word that was similar to that.
What is the word Seter?
I think that's a word for, it's one of the words for secret. I know sod is another word, but.
Right.
In
sod
Psalm
is
20,
the Hebrew word.
Then, that we recite during our holy day season. The secret place of the Most High.
Right.
I say La Is. But I don't know if that's, I don't know. That was, I mean, I've always felt like you have something that's overwhelming to you and frightening, that that's when you go, or darkness, that's when you go to Hashem, that's your secret place. Which I think comes from some, you know, reading Psalm 91 every night.
Right.
The
Yisra being translated as hiding or hiding out.
Okay.
Which is concealment, which is a secret. So, you know, you're consistent.
Mm-hmm. Was he ever identified as or linked to Hashem being his friend? Had he reached that level?
Did Noah reach that level?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was Moses. It's Moses, okay.
Moses reached that level.
Mm-hmm.
No, Noah reached the level of being a son, S-O-N. But actually, Hashem never spoke to Noah. It was always one of the other levels of names. At least that's my memory. I'm not 100% certain, but I believe that's true. I mean, the name Hashem is used in Noah in the parasha, and it will say that Hashem did such and such for Noah or to help Noah, but it doesn't actually say that Hashem spoke to Noah. But again, I'm not 100% certain. But these are significant differences, and that's really what I'm trying to teach in this verse.
Well, Hannah, how far down through the generations was Noah from Adam and Kava?
From how far down was Noah?
Uh-huh. Was he like seven?
Noah was the 10th generation. The 7th generation was Hanoch ben Yared. The 8th generation was, the 6th generation was, give me a second. The eighth generation was Methuselah. The ninth generation was Lemech. And then the 10th generation was Noah.
Okay.
Then
but
there were
since
10
they
generations
were...
from Noah to Abraham.
Yeah. But the question that I wanted to ask, since Noah was only the 10th generation removed from Adam and Kava, and Adam and Kava had a direct link with the Creator. But you're saying that Noah did not.
Correct. And Adam and Kava lost that link when they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. As the Midrash says, after they were expelled from the Garden of Eden, Moses sent Raziel, an angel, to give Adam the information in the book of Raziel, which became the book of Hanoch, which became all kinds of different things as it went through the generations. The book of the wars of Hashem and so forth. But that is an indication that Adam and Chava lost the link to Hashem. The Torah doesn't tell us that Hashem spoke to Adam again after he was expelled from the garden. Come in. Our time is up.
Okay.
We will go again tomorrow. You all have a good evening, and we'll have a Zohar class at 7 o'clock West Coast time on the Parsha of Mishpatim. We'll continue with the laws of reincarnation. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.